Right now, we'll hand it over to all y'all out there. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays beat the Minnesota Twins 4-0. They had lost 8 of their last 11 games. The knives will not be out. I mean, I'd love to hear from everybody who called me in April and said that Mark Burley should be released and that Burley clearly doesn't want to be here and all that. Just love to hear from you. Mark Burley has been the Blue Jays' best pitcher over the last 2 months and did it again today as the Jays beat the Minnesota Twins 4-0. Phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance is 1-888-666-0590. We're going to Blue Jays talk it up right to the top of the hour all across our network, and then we'll carry it over for another hour on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. But right now, let's get right to the calls. Dave is in Scarborough. Dave, welcome to the Blue Jays talk. Hello, Dave.
Hello.
Hey, go ahead. You're on the radio and stuff.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call tonight. I want to say, first of all, Burley pitched a great game tonight, and it's great to see McGowan getting back in the majors. Couldn't help but do a nicer kid. I've met him a few times, and just great to see him back in the game. The one thing I wanted to talk about, though, is we see them go on this major hot streak where it seems like they can't be beat. Then we see them come back out and against Tampa and against Boston and then against Detroit, and they almost look like they're, at some points of the game, just disinterested, making bad errors and things like that. And I'm just wondering what you think is attributing to their almost lack of concentration.
I don't think there's a lack of concentration. Maybe a couple of times you see them make mistakes, which kind of sucks. But I really think that's, and it's not just you, so don't take this. I'm not calling you out or anything.
Yeah.
But I think that's the general you creating your own story around what you're seeing. When a team doesn't hit, it looks flat and it looks disinterested and they look like their heads aren't in the game when they're not scoring any runs. But the truth of the matter, more often than not, is that they're just not scoring any runs. They're trying. They're just not able to do it. The Boston series really could have gone either way. The Tampa Bay series also could have gone either way, and the Blue Jays didn't get the breaks, and then they split a couple against the Tigers and ran into Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander. It winds up 3-8, and it looks awful, and you think, oh my God, they're terrible. They've gone right back to being what they were in April. And there was a game or two where they looked like that, for sure, but only a game or two. And
yeah, they really gave up runs like when Bonifacio, they're pretty much elated at second base with Fielder running to second on that double play.
He
might not have gotten
right
the two, but at
move.
Least get the one, and you're going to stop two runs at least from
right.
scoring that inning.
So that's one play in 11 games.
Yeah, but then you had Rasmus last night who completely botched the ball, hit out to him, easy pop fly. And
it was a line drive. It was not right at him, but he did botch it, but it didn't cost him anything.
Yeah, but it just I just noticed this, like, they get on a roll, then all of a sudden they have these letdowns of games where they're just pretty much giving away runs. And against guys like Verlander and Scherzer, you can't give these guys any runs because they're just going to eat you alive if you do that kind of thing.
Well, whether you do or don't, they're going to eat you alive more often than not. But look, errors happen. And you know what? Tonight, Mark Burley failed to cover first twice, and Brett Cecil failed to cover first another time on 3 ground balls to the first baseman. Anybody going to point that out? No, because they won. So when they win, they're concentrating, everything is going great, and they played a terrific game. Stuff happens, and failing to cover first, for me, is way worse than letting a ball go through your legs or dropping a line drive. So I just think these things happen. They happen over time. They show up when you're losing games, and people get really upset about them and then create their own stories to say, oh, they don't care, or they're not focused, or their heads aren't in the game, when the truth of the matter is that they're just losing and screwing up while they're doing it.
All right, well, thank you very much for taking my call.
I appreciate it. Thank you. It would be great if the Blue Jays would just, you know, win 4 out of every 6 games. Although I'm not sure if that would make people happy, because that's 2 losses in every 6 games. and just do that for the whole season, win your 108 games, go to the playoffs, and win the World Series, and that would be lovely. But almost no team in history has ever done that. And I'm just talking about the final win total, not about winning four out of every six on the way. Nothing happens in a straight line in pretty much any sport, maybe football, maybe basketball, but certainly not in baseball. Nothing happens in a straight line. Teams that win 97 games, which is playing 600 ball, don't win three out of every five. They just, you know, there are runs, there are valleys, there are peaks, there are win streaks, there are times when they get thumped. It happens. And it's tough to play really, really well over a long period of time. Nobody does it. Mariners in 2001. And then they lost in the first round of the playoffs. Let's go out to Cut Knife, Saskatchewan. Blue Jays beat the Twins 4-0. Maybe somebody will be happy. Paul, listening on CJYM 1330. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, go ahead.
I was just wondering if you thought the Blue Jays would upgrade their pitching staff, even though they're a little below 500 here, but they're still in the hunt. Just wondering what you thought about their pitching staff, if you thought it was good enough or...
No, I think they're going to try. I think they're certainly in the market for starting pitching. Yeah, bullpen not so much. The bullpen's phenomenal. And you got Sergio Santos coming back within probably a week or two. But yeah, starting pitching, I think they're definitely looking for starting pitching.
What do you think is in the market for them right now?
Well, that depends. You know, the big names are, Matt Garza's the biggest name out of the starting pitching that's out there. I heard Tim Hudson may be on the market as well. I don't know if he's a guy you necessarily want to bring in here to help. But what you need is you need a guy who's dependable, who's a stud, who you can count on to go seven innings every 5 days and maybe more. The guy they thought Josh Johnson was when they traded for him. The guy they thought R.A. Dickey was when they traded for him. And Dickey really seems to have come around. Johnson, not so much. Chien-Ming Wong turned into a pumpkin. So you're looking for a fifth starter still. And I don't think Todd Redmond is going to be the answer. But he's going to get a shot. I don't know. I mean, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for a stud starter. And the price is going to be high. And there's going to be a lot of competition.
Is that the rumor on Twitter right now is they're shopping Brett Laurie. Is that what you're hearing too?
No, at all. Is there a reliable source for that rumor, or was that just made up by somebody on Twitter?
Yeah, it's just strictly
Twitter.
Right,
so that's your buddy at a bar who doesn't know a
much.
Thing saying they're going to trade Brett Laurie.
Because I heard Seattle, I heard Seattle's interested in him, but
I'm sure there are 25 major league teams that would be interested in Brett Laurie.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Thank you for the call. If you're going to look at Twitter for rumors or for, you know, news, make sure it comes from a credible news source and not, I apologize, a fan or someone who says they know somebody. Try to make sure they're a legitimate, someone with access. Don't trust anyone who doesn't have any access because they're just making stuff up that they want to see happen. Noel is in London listening on News Talk 1290. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Oh, yeah, I had a couple of things. Your producer said you got lots of people, but just quickly, the caller a couple of times before, he said sometimes the Jays lose focus. And you said, well, you know, that's the way you see it, whatever, but it's not really true. And then you said three times tonight the pitcher didn't cover first. What the hell is that?
Yeah, but they won, so no one's
complaining. No. Is that not a loss of focus?
Sure, it's a loss of focus.
Okay, and when you play a good team in an important game, isn't that going to cost you?
Not always. Didn't tonight. Three times pitcher didn't cover first, and twice outs were made.
They didn't play a good team tonight.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't matter. Those outs were still outs.
Later in the season, when it matters, and some guy fails to cover, you're going to say, hey, that's how they lost it tonight. That's a loss of focus.
Maybe.
Anyway, that wasn't what I want to talk about. I want to know what your take on the Arancibia Zahn Hayhurst thing is.
I'm staying out of that. That's between them and
I just wonder why Arancibia didn't include Bob McCallum, Buck Martinez, and Tabler, because they've all been criticizing him all year. Anyway, that's okay. You want to get into it? That's fine. I do congratulate you on getting Tom Cheek into the Hall of Fame, or helping, whatever.
I'll take helping, certainly not getting.
Yeah, but I have one major question.
Uh-huh.
Year after year, you kept friends of mine were always, you know, on the internet, going in there 25 times, because you said the Americans don't know how important he is.
Right.
Right. So how come he got into Cooperstown before he got into St. Mary's?
He didn't. He won the Ford C. Frick Award
mm-hmm.
for Cooperstown, but he won the Jack Graney Award, which is the Canadian version of that, years and years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember. He was still alive when he won that. Now he's actually been inducted as an honored member of the Hall of Fame at the Canadian Baseball
Hall. I got confused because I was in London, so we know St. Mary's really well.
All right.
But, okay.
Okay. No, we got to go. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. A difference. It's like winning the Ford Frick Award or being inducted into the Hall of Fame. Same thing, winning the Jack Graney, which Jerry Howarth won this year, and being inducted into the Canadian Baseball Hall. Take more of your phone calls on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, sportsnet590.ca. So stick with us there if you're not in the Toronto listening area. The Blue Jays shut out the Twins to snap a three-game losing streak. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network.
Jose hits a high fly ball deep center field. This might be a score. Back goes Aaron Hicks. He's at the wall, jumps, and there she goes. The Blue Jays are in flight on Jose's 20th, leaving Minnesota now 1-0.
That was all the Blue Jays would need. Jose Bautista with his 20th home run, but the Jays tacked on three more in the bottom of the fourth. Jose Reyes with a two-run double and an RBI single from Bautista, and they beat the Minnesota Twins 4-0. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. Taking your calls at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays won, which means more lines are open than are after a loss. So give us a call. We're on the air until 11 o'clock Eastern time. We will endeavor to get you John Gibbons' post-game comments a little bit later on. But right now, we're taking your calls. Jeremy in Toronto, you're up next. It is the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome aboard.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
Good. Mike, I want to just talk a little bit about a concept that I've heard you discuss on the radio a few times that, you know, has to do with this whole J.P. Arencibia thing that happened yesterday. Can you explain to me in a sport where these guys are getting paid $10 million a year plus, not all of them, but, you know, a lot of them are making millions and millions a year.
Yeah.
What does it mean that, you know, when the players or yourself say on other broadcasts we've heard, you don't know how hard it is to be a baseball player? Can you explain to me what that means?
I think what he was saying was that the game certainly does look a lot easier from the stands, from the broadcast booth. It absolutely does. One. Two, and people should bear that in mind, and a lot of people don't. They see JP striking out, and they think, oh, he's just terrible, and he doesn't care, and he's just going up there trying to hit a home run every time, and that's all he wants to do. He doesn't care about anything else, which isn't true. I think he's talking about the grind, the travel, the everyday, and that's something that a lot of people also don't realize. I mean, look at these Minnesota Twins. They played a game in Minneapolis yesterday, and they're here playing today. Teams go coast to coast without a day off. It is a grind. It's a lot of work, and it's like watching a movie. You watch a movie, you don't see everything that goes on behind the scenes. You're just watching the movie.
Let me finish, Jeremy.
Yeah. I don't think it's fair for someone to say that if you don't play or if you haven't played at this level, you can't have an opinion on what's going on. But I don't think JP was saying that. But I do think that some of the points are well made, that there are the people, a lot of people just look at it and say, look, I had a caller the first night of the season after the Blue Jays lost who said he saw no reason why the Blue Jays couldn't have nine players in the lineup hitting 300 with 30 home runs. you know, and there are still a lot of people, even the people who talk about second base or whatever, who believe that you can have a star player at every position on a baseball team. You can't. This game is really, really hard. And a lot of times, a lot of people forget that. And I think JP was especially disappointed that people who have done it, in his mind, had forgotten how hard it was.
So my question to you, and I understand where you're coming from, is if you had to work your job and you were paid by Sportsnet $10 million a year,
and
wouldn't it be awesome if you could basically make an excuse that if you went on the air every night and totally screwed up every call, that you could come out and say, guys, you don't know how hard it is.
Do you not see a massive difference, Jeremy?
No,
like, that's not
that's
really
his job, and that's your job.
My
we
job,
all have jobs.
My
right?
job is to talk to you. My job is to call a ball game. Right? There's nobody trying to get me out. There's nobody who's being paid just as much or more to make sure that I fail. That's the difference.
So CEOs of public companies, guys whose jobs are at risk every day.
Uh-huh.
You don't know how hard it is to be the CEO of company XYZ.
No, I don't.
You don't know, public, how hard it is. Like, I can't understand this concept. We're in a competitive world.
I think what you're missing, I honestly do, I think what you're missing, and you're getting hung up on the whole you don't understand thing, I think what you're missing is that in professional sports, there, for every person who's going out there trying to perform, there is someone else who, more often than not, is just as good, whose job it is to get them to not perform. In no other job is there someone specifically tasked and paid to make sure someone else fails. Right? The other team's trying just as hard as the Blue Jays are. And Justin Morneau went 0 for 4 tonight because Mark Burley and Brett Cecil were trying really hard to make sure he went 0 for 4 tonight.
Justin
when I'm
Morneau.
Calling a ball game on the radio,
yeah.
Or when whoever's flipping burgers,
mm-hmm.
or running a public company, or whatever they're doing, they don't have a specific nemesis whose job it is, I mean, sometimes it feels like I do with some of the callers, but nobody else has a specific nemesis.
Politicians
who tries
do,
to
Mike.
Make,
Politicians
no, they don't.
Do.
Politicians have critics. Politicians have...
You're telling me Stephen Harper doesn't have people who want his job every day and who's... every day in politics, there's somebody else who's trying to take that politician's job. They don't get to come out and say... You don't know how hard it is to be the prime minister, everyone.
No,
like,
but I think most people understand how hard it is to be the prime minister.
But
and the
most
prime
people
minister
know
doesn't...
that the prime minister doesn't make $8 to $10 million a year to do his job.
Why do you keep saying that? Do
because
you know how much
that,
J.P. Arencibia makes since he's the target of your anger?
Tell me how much he makes.
I don't know, like $460,000.
J.P. Arencibia makes $460,000 a year.
That is what I believe. I will make sure for you because you're so upset about this.
I'd like to understand why that's an excuse for his poor
it's
play.
It's not an excuse for his poor play.
So
it's
why doesn't
not.
Greg Zahn have the right to say
Greg,
what he
sorry,
said?
Sorry,
right?
J.P. Arencibia is making $506,000.
Okay, and he won't when his contract comes up for renegotiation if he stays on the team. But no player, including J.P. Arencibia, so I don't stay hung up on this one point,
okay.
No baseball player, whether they make $20 million a year or the league minimum, has the right to say... as an excuse for their poor play and their frustration against the media, whose job it is to criticize when somebody
no,
is clearly
not
playing
job
well.
Is to criticize. It's
it
to
is
analyze,
when they're not playing. Analyze.
Not criticize.
So analyze when they're not playing up to their potential or not playing well or costing teams games or runs or
sure.
parts of games.
Yep.
It is not an excuse or acceptable to come back out and basically use the excuse of it is so hard to do what I do. You know, you don't appreciate that. Like, I remember on one broadcast on Jay's Talk, you made a comment to a caller when J.P. Arencibia failed to hit a fly ball into the outfield to bring home a run with less than two outs and two men on base. He he did it two or three times that night, and you said, caller, you don't know how hard it is to hit a fly ball. Like, NBA guy.
I believe what I said was, it's really hard to do. And I got to let you go, Jeremy.
It's really hard to hit a fly ball.
Yeah, you know what? It really is. When there's a guy throwing 97 miles an hour who is trying his best to make sure you don't. I mean, now everyone's going to say I'm sticking up for JP or apologizing for the Blue Jays. I'm not. I'm trying to make people understand. Well, I'm just trying to make Jeremy specifically understand. But it got to be enough already. Look, when a Blue Jays pitcher gets a guy out with a runner on third and less than two outs, do we talk about how terrible the hitter is? No. We talk about what a great job the pitcher did, because that's what his job is. And I, for the life of me, can't understand why you wouldn't understand that. And again, and I'll say this again. I said it a couple of weeks ago, I guess, when the same thing came up. The team that leads the major leagues, or at least when I saw the stat a couple of weeks ago, the team that leads the major leagues in scoring runners from third with less than two outs does it less than two-thirds of the time. It's not that easy when there's somebody else who's just as good trying to make you fail. The Blue Jays have just announced that Kyle Drabek has been activated from the disabled list and optioned to A-ball Dunedin. So his rehab stint is over. He had options left. He will continue to rehab off the Tommy John surgery. But Kyle Drabek's been activated off the DL and optioned to Dunedin. So thanks to Tom Young for passing that along. Blue Jays beat the Twins 4-0, though you'd never know they won by listening to this show. Phone lines are open. Steve in Toronto, you're up next on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hello.
Hello.
I want to change the vibe a little bit here.
Cool.
And think a little bit longer term about the Blue Jays. And I go back a little bit in history to 6 months ago when Alex Anthopoulos and the Blue Jays Brain Trust saw this opportunity for a shot at making the playoffs.
Okay.
It looked like the Yankees were going south. It looked like the Red Sox were weakening.
I don't think that's why they did it, but...
Well, when they did it, I think they did all the right things.
Okay.
They got all the best players at that moment in time. They did everything right. And
yes.
It didn't work out exactly the way the blueprint had it designed.
It hasn't worked out.
Yeah,
season's not over yet.
Yeah. But they've had injuries.
Yep.
There's been players who've underperformed,
yep,
etc. So I think what we should be thinking about here is not just making the postseason this year, but let's think about making the postseason next year.
Okay.
And what can we do today in order to maximize the probability of us making the postseason next year? This year, it's a long shot. It's going to be a tough one. Can we do it with what we have without making more trades? Without signing somebody, it's going to be really tough. Why not be sellers at that trade deadline and try and build, take what we've got as a core and try and improve on it for next year, as opposed to panic a little bit and try and make the postseason this year?
I don't think trying to make the postseason this year is panicking a little bit. I mean, you look at the standings right now, and the Blue Jays are... 6.5 games out of a playoff spot, and they've been playing, or no, pardon me, 5.5 games out of a playoff spot with the Baltimore Orioles loss today. And they've been playing really, really poorly for the most part this season. So I don't think 5.5 back with 76 games to play is panicking if you try to up the ante, especially since you just got Jose Reyes back and you're getting Brett Laurie back soon and Sergio Santos and all this stuff. But to your question, this is the thing. A, who do you move in order to be better next year? And if you're a seller, remember to whom you're selling. You're selling to teams that are in contention, and a team that's in contention is generally not going to deal somebody off of its major league roster. You're going to get minor leaguers. You may get guys who are like on the cusp of making the big leagues. But to ask those people to be significant contributors to a contending team a year, you know, as rookies is a lot to ask.
Okay.
Who would you trade off this team that wouldn't affect, that would get you something terrific and wouldn't affect your competitiveness for next season?
I come up with Josh Johnson.
What could you possibly get for Josh Johnson right now?
That I don't know.
Right.
I don't
Not
know.
Too and damn if, much.
If you tell me it's nothing, I'll accept that. But I got to believe that a team that is a pitcher short of making some real noise might like a guy like him.
I don't think a contender that wants to improve its starting rotation is going to take a chance on a guy who's in 10 starts, has an ERA over 5, I think, and who has had two good starts all season and has missed 7 weeks. There's a lot of much, much more reliable starting pitching out there to acquire and trade, and if you think, well, Johnson will be cheaper to acquire than any of those other guys, then you're not getting something that's going to help you next year.
Okay, well, then I'll throw Mark Burley's name out there.
Mark Burley is interesting. But Mark Burley comes with a pretty hefty contract attached, and he's also a guy that, you know, given the way he's pitched, you probably want in your rotation next season if you fancy yourself a contender.
Well, no, but he's pitched well, like you said, for the last little while.
2 months.
He had a rough start to the season.
Which he always does.
And in the long term, I mean, you just finished talking about Kyle Drabek. We just saw Dustin McGowan perform well. We've still got some names out there that are potential starting pitchers.
Sure.
Better than Mark Burley.
Hey, not, I would be very careful about that.
Not right now. Not right now.
And
but
not and probably
year.
Not next year. I mean, maybe Drew Hutchison. Maybe, but again, you're dealing with players who've just missed almost a full year. And Dustin McGowan, who, as much as we all love him, is a piece of glass. And you hope that he can stay in the bullpen. I think moving him to the rotation is, again, taking a big, big chance with his shoulder. I certainly hope he's passed all those injuries. But, I mean, on the scale of reliability, he's got to be at the bottom of the list. And I say that as someone who thinks he's awesome and would love to see him pitch and be successful. But you've got Mark Burley, who's on his way to a 13th straight season of 200 innings, who's been the Blue Jays' best starter over the last 2 months, topping out at 86. He's been the Blue Jays' best starter over the last 2 months. To say that Kyle Drabek is going to have a better 2014 than Mark Burley or Drew Hutchison is, or Ricky Romero is, or Jay Happ is, or Dustin McGowan is, that's a pretty huge stretch, I think.
It is unquestionably a risk, but I think it's a risk that I would be willing to take.
Yeah, I can tell. I'm not sure. I mean, it all depends on the return, right? If you're going to blow me away from Mark Burley, you can have Mark Burley. If you're going to give me a piece or two that I can plug in to a contending team in 2014, I will trade Mark Burley. But I don't think you get that much, especially from a team in the race. I appreciate the call. Thank you. And we will take more of your calls. We'll also hear from John Gibbons as we continue. 20 update coming up. Blue Jays blank the Twins. It is the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Tisa lines one up the middle. Base hit center field. Reyes around third getting the wave home. Here's the throw. It's cut at the mound as Reyes scores standing up. Bautista back to first, and the Blue Jays now lead it 4-0.
And that would be the final score as the two Jose's at the top of the lineup drove in all four Blue Jays runs. They beat the Minnesota Twins 4-0 behind 7 sparkling shutout innings from Mark Burley, Brett Cecil, and Dustin McGowan with a shutout 8th and 9th. And the Blue Jays are now 31-0 this season when they lead after 7 innings. The 3-game losing streak is history. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. Phone lines are open, but before we get to them, let's listen to the skipper. Hear what John Gibbons had to say at the conclusion of tonight's 4-0 win over the Twins.
Just with Burley, John, how much does the team's confidence level, alert level, compete level change when a guy goes out? You see right away he's on top of it. He's doing what he's supposed to do, get you in and off the field.
You know, Zora, that makes a big, a big difference. You know, and he was outstanding tonight. He, you know, he had everything working. But what was it, a 2.5-hour game? So everybody loves it. We love it. You guys love it, you know. But, yeah, I mean, he was, you know, I don't want to, I mean, he's had some really good outings this year, but that, you know, that was up there with the best of them, you know, because simply because he had everything working, both sides of the plate. You know, the big, you know, that, you know, early in the game when he got out of that jam, too, that's huge, you know, with the strikeout of Morneau. And it kept us in it. And then we had just had that one big inning, you know, we scored 3 after Jose's home run. So that was big. And then, you know, there, I mean, otherwise it was a pretty tight game, and our relievers came and did a nice job. Excuse me. Same old boring answer, sorry, guys.
I mean, we're always talking about it, but how important was strike one? I think he was 20 out of 27 tonight.
Yeah, Kenny, well, that's the key to pitching. You know, I mean, guys that have those good outings, that's normally what they do. And, you know, he had a good umpire back there that was looking to call strikes tonight. That always helps. But, yeah, the guys that work ahead, I mean, it's no secret. We look at back to that last series. We struggled against Detroit. We were falling behind. Then you got to come across the plate, and that's where you run into trouble. But he's made a living doing that, too. I mean, that's his game.
Batista had a pretty rough month of June for a lot of there, but since June 29th or something like that, he's been the guy that you guys kind of expected him to be all along. What's been the biggest difference from him maybe in the second week of June to where he is at this point right now?
You know, I mean, it's hard to say. You know, we've said before that, I mean, there's a lot to his swing, and the timing's very big. You know, those leg kick guys, I mean, the timing's huge. It's almost like, you know, when he got that 200th home run, I mean, he just took off. You know, you never know what's on his mind. But, I mean, everybody in this game, anytime they're sitting on some kind of milestone, you know, everybody's aware of it. And sometimes, you know, you try to get it out of the way. And so once he hit that, maybe, you know, I don't know, that may have something to do with it. It may have absolutely nothing to do with it. But ever since then, he hit that in Boston, he's really taken off. So maybe there's something there. I don't know.
I saw Reyes with the stolen base tonight, and clearly the ankle's not an issue. We see it defensively in him running the bases. But did you sense at all maybe some tentativeness on his part? I mean, obviously that's what caused the injury, and maybe he was a little gun-shy.
You mean before tonight?
Yeah, before tonight.
No, there's been, I mean, he's been on first a number of times, and the reason he hasn't gone is, you know, the pitchers have been pretty quick to the plate. You know, even your base dealers, if you get guys that are 1-2, even, you know, maybe 1-2s, below 1-3s and 1-1s and those things like that, that time, you know, I mean, I don't care how fast you are, you can't outrun the baseball. So, I mean, where he's been stationary a lot over there first has been because of that. Tonight he felt he had a good read. You know, that's my take on it. He might tell you a little different. He might be feeling his way around a little bit. But there's, you know, there's no limitations. I don't see any, and they haven't told me of any.
Which is terrific. There's John Gibbons, Blue Jays manager. Good to hear that, and a good win for the Blue Jays. They beat the Minnesota Twins 4-0. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. We're taking your calls all the way to 11 Eastern at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Mike is in St. Catharines. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
All right, Mike. How are you?
Good. First time I called. I've been going to the Blue Jay games since I was 5 years old with my grandfather in 1977 at the old Exhibition Stadium.
Tremendous.
And what I noticed about this team is kind of like the 91 team. They had a little bit of inconsistencies, but I think that they might be able to gel together to get to the playoffs next year. I was just wondering what you thought about that.
I think it's too early for that. And the 91 team made the playoffs. They just got beat by the Twins in the ALCS.
Or the 90 team, but when the 90 they first team, got all the players together. Sorry about that.
No, the 91 team was...
Yeah, where they couldn't come together in the playoffs. That's right.
Right, and they didn't have White and Carter and
right.
All those guys didn't come until after 1990. 1990,
yeah, they came
I mean,
the next year.
I'll
right?
take that. In 1990, yeah. The Blue Jays were eliminated on the last day of the season.
They kind of remind. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
Uh-huh.
The team kind of reminds me of the 91 team where they just fell a little bit short. I was wondering if you thought the same, sort
fell
of.
Fell a little bit short of what?
Because, well, Devon White is kind of like Kobe Rasmus. A little bit inconsistent with his hitting, but he's great with the glove. Then you got Joe Carter is like Jose Bautista. And then you got Jose Reyes.
Joe Carter in his dreams is as good as Jose Bautista.
Pardon me?
Joe Carter in his dreams is as good as Jose Bautista.
No, I know.
I know what you're saying. But in 91, I mean, that 91 team, you know, won 91 games. They won the AL East. They had a great year, and that was their second division title in 3 years. So,
yeah.
I don't look back at that team and see a whole bunch of inconsistencies. I look at that team and see a really good team that did a terrific job. They picked up a pitcher that they needed midway through the season, and in Candiotti, they had Juan Guzman emerge. I think that was his first year.
Well, yeah, but at the beginning of the year, they were playing a little inconsistent, and they made some trades, and then they come in, and they come into their own, and they won 91 games.
Yeah.
This team here was projected to win between 90 and 95 games.
Well, projected
at the beginning of the year, that's what people were hoping. I was just wondering if you think that they have the potential to do what they did in 91.
I absolutely think that they have the potential to do what they did. And you know what? And I don't mean to nitpick, but I'm looking back at 1991, and they were not at all inconsistent. They had a better record in the first half than they had in the second half. They had a very good April, a solid
May,
June.
Got my year wrong.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it was
1990, but that was but again, that year they got eliminated from the playoff race on the last day of the season. So, I'll take that, you know, a million times out of a million to get down to the last day and get knocked out then. This team, my opinion of this team really hasn't changed that much since spring training. I think that it's very talented. I think that there's certainly enough here to make a run. And, you know, 5.5 games out, 76 games to play, given the way the first 86 have gone, it's they're in a solid position with the players they have coming back and with their ability to make trades down the stretch. I really do look for a very, very interesting last 3 months of the season. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
You think that they could stay in the race with being more consistent?
Well, yeah, they're in the race now, having been horribly inconsistent. So
Yeah. Hopefully
they can, you know, they can straighten things out and start playing better. I mean, they were 17-9 in the month of June, which everyone has forgotten. They're 2-3 in July. So they've won 20 of their last 32 games.
Yeah, they've been playing excellent. I've been watching. They've been playing a lot better.
The last two weeks have kind of sucked, but...
I just feel like that their fielding needs to be a little bit more consistent. I don't know if it's the coaching or if it's the players or what it is, but I find that their fielding has been very inconsistent this year. If their fielding could come along with their pitching right now, I think they would do a little bit better because hitting is always up and down.
And the pitching has been more down than up, at least from the starting
right. Pitchers.
I think that's what's more important.
The fielding, the defensive lapses. You don't think it has anything to do with coaching?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah, okay, I wasn't sure. I was just thinking, you know, I'm a truck driver, so I only watch two or three games a week, and then I tape the other ones.
Listen to the radio, Mike. That's what we're here
for.
Yeah,
well, that's what I'm doing.
All right,
that's what I do. I love your show, and anyways, thanks a lot for taking my call.
All right, I appreciate it. Always on the players. I will never blame coaching for any failings of a player. Just like I'm not going to say it's a coach's fault that a player hit a home run. Or it's to the coach's credit, that is. Craig in Brantford. Craig, you're on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Mike.
Hello.
Basically, what I've been pondering about over the last couple weeks is Josh Johnson and what his value is. And in my opinion, I think Matt Garza is probably one of the top guys I would go after just because of his track record in the AL East and what he did in Tampa.
Yeah, he certainly has a great one, for sure.
So I was wondering, do you think that Chicago would take Josh Johnson with maybe a couple other pieces for Garza, or do you think that they would require a lot more from Toronto?
I think they would require a ton more. Why would the Chicago Cubs be even remotely interested in Josh Johnson?
Well, I understand that the fact that Johnson does have potential to be a good pitcher
in the past.
I still think he can come back, but my thing is
a free agent after the season, and the Cubs are a last-place team.
That's why I mean there'd be another prospect involved.
But why would they even want him?
Well, I don't see them being in contention. Garza is on the block. You know, if Johnson does end up being traded, and if he does go to Chicago, there's a chance to re-sign him. If not, they can still trade his rights away. I mean,
if you're the Chicago Cubs, like, don't take your Blue Jays hat off and put your Chicago Cubs hat on. If you're offered Josh Johnson, is there even a remote amount of excitement for you? Do you want this guy? Like, there's zero reason for the Chicago Cubs to be interested in Josh Johnson.
I'm just saying, if you know, Johnson can still have potential to be a good pitcher.
No, Josh Johnson is not a guy that any team that is not in contention would be interested in trading for.
Well, they're not in contention. That's my point, though.
Huh?
They're a seller. So,
well, what I'm saying is that there's no team, no seller, no team that's not in contention would be interested in Josh Johnson.
Hmm.
He does nothing for a team that's out of a playoff race.
Fair enough.
Okay. So if you're looking for Matt Garza, the cost is going to be exceedingly high. I mean, they just got Pedro Strop and Jake Arrieta for Scott Feldman. And Scott Feldman was having a good year for the Chicago Cubs this year, but Scott Feldman has been a poor major league pitcher for almost his entire career. And they got two really, really good arms for him, both of whom have pitched in the major leagues and both of whom are still pretty young. The price for Matt Garza is going to be way higher than that. So you will, I think, if the Blue Jays trade for Matt Garza, it would be at a price that would make you uncomfortable. And not just you, but a lot of people. Are you there? You're gone? He's gone. It's going to take a lot to get Matt Garza. I think Matt Garza, you know, is a very good pitcher. When he's healthy, he's one of the best. He has proven that he can succeed in this division back when this division was a lot better than it is right now, and it's still pretty good. And I think Matt Garza would be a tremendous addition to the Blue Jays pitching rotation. But the cost required to acquire Matt Garza is going to be exceedingly high. More of your calls coming up. One segment of the Blue Jays talk remains. The Jays beat the Twins 4-0. We got a 20 update from Kayla Harris coming up. And then more of you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Thanks for all the calls. Sorry to those of you to whom we could not get. We will talk to you tomorrow.